Father God, as we prepare to study your word, I pray that you would just open up your word to us, that you would pour forth your spirit into our time together, that you would come and bring forth your divine revelation, that you would touch us, transform us, enable us to press into you, Lord God, as we understand more and more of your word. The impact of your word shaping and molding us, defining us as children of the King, hungering and thirsting for you, being refined and prepared to carry the glory of the Lord. Have your way in us, Lord God. Have your way. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. Your precious and holy name. Amen. Ephesians. This has been such a rich study, and I can't believe we're nearing the end of it. Such a rich and powerful study. And this week, as we studied chapter 5 and 6, and we're going to take pieces of it today, and we're going to take pieces of it next week. Next week, we're going to discuss husbands and wives. And that's an important study because it's a study of understanding. It's understanding the intimacy and the love and the honor and the respect and the tenderness and the love and between a husband and wife, and putting that in relationship to Christ in the church. It's very important. So we're going to be covering that next week, but Ephesians 5 and 6, you know, Paul has gone through, he shared doctrinal, as he does in all of his letters. He gives you that strong, solid doctrinal foundation that you need. You know, you get the salvation message, no matter which letter you receive of Paul's. He's going to give you the gospel message. And then he's going to tell you how to apply that in your life. And the book of Ephesians is about going deeper in God than you thought possible. It's about learning to walk in the Spirit and what it means to truly walk in the Spirit. And we talked about this last week, the Spirit of holiness. This is where he's calling us to walk. And when you put that into application, life application in our relationships with one another, it should transform how we interact with one another. We should begin to assess our treatment of our brothers and sisters, our treatment of our parents, our treatment of our children, our treatment of our employees, our treatment of our employers. All of it should be assessed when we study passages like this. Because he talks about children, obey your parents, but he also says, parents, don't provoke your children to wrath. You know what that means? Don't push their buttons. As a parent, we know the buttons of our kids, don't we? And I can promise you, they know the buttons that we have. He says, don't go around pushing the buttons of your kids. And when you do this time and time again, it builds up within them a resentment toward authority. It affects their relationship to God. Because when they look at their parents It affects, it like puts a stamp of how they see God. It's like those transparencies that we used to, you know, when we first were doing the GOEs, we had those transparencies that we put over the overhead projectors. And I used to actually pull those out and put those on the overhead projector with all the words on it for the worship songs. So you lay that over top of it and it shoots it up. You know, talk to most kids today, they wouldn't even know what that is. But we remember, most people on this line should remember what those are. So imagine if your child took a transparency that has your face etched on it and held it up to their view of God. What would they see? How would they view him? Would they see a patient and loving God? Or would they see a dictator? One who rules? Would they see someone who listens to their heart? Or would they see a door slammed in their face? Would they see one who disciplines lovingly, who's harsh with their words? What would they see? What have they seen? What have they seen in their parent? We are an example to our children. Now, if we come to the Lord later in life, we've raised our kids. We think, Lord, if I could do it over again. If we've known the Lord all our lives and we raised our kids, we often look back and think, Lord, if I could do it all over again, I'd make changes. As grandparents, we sow into the lives of our children. Why? Because we want them to be better parents than we are, than we were. We want the transparency that their children hold up over the face of God to be different than ours was. We want them to aspire to greatness. Greatness in all that they do. Greatness in their parenting. Shaping and molding the minds of the youth. Many parents today don't see the value of the youth. They don't see the value of raising someone up to be a productive member of society. They don't realize they're raising a human who will one day leave the nest, and we want that human to sow into the community, to sow into the body of Christ, to take with them the gospel message, to take with them purity, holiness, a desire to take others into the kingdom of God with them. We forget that's our responsibility. Paul is talking, you know, to people. They were pagans. In the Jewish community, they raised their children up in the ways of the Lord. They trained them up in the scriptures. So even if they didn't know their Messiah, they trained them up in the scriptures. They hid the word in their hearts and on their minds. Literally, they had boxes with scriptures in it. There was someone there to help guide them, to make sure that they were adhering to the principles of the family and the principles of the scriptures. Paul's talking to pagans. They didn't do that. It's not to say they were completely immoral, but you don't know what you don't know till someone speaks it into your life and awakens you to the truth. And God is awakening us to the truth of His Word, bringing forth truth into our lives that we are supposed to pour out. And that's what He's done here. That's what He's done through Paul. Truth. If you live your life by the Spirit, demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit, and the fruits of the Spirit is not something that we can do on our own. That's just the reality of it. It's actually the fruit of the Spirit. And I've talked about this on a couple of our Thursday nights. Did you learn love? Did you learn forgiveness? Did you learn joy? These are powerful lessons, really understanding what the fruit of the Spirit is so that you can aspire to it. And the more you put the Spirit within you, the more the Spirit of God will pour out of you because it begins to fill the nooks and crannies within you. The darkness that was once there must flee because the Spirit of the living God has taken root. He's calling us to fill ourselves up with His Spirit. Ephesians 5, what does He say? Singing hymns, praises, singing the Psalms. Constantly. Ephesians 6, pray without ceasing. Put on the armor of God and pray. Pray. Why do we pray? Because it feeds our spirit. We got enough of feeding our flesh in this earth. Everywhere we go, it feeds our flesh. We go to the store, there's advertisements, there's magazines with half-dressed people on there. What happened to the days that we didn't buy anything that we couldn't wear to church? What happened to the days that we lived for Sunday morning? Because we could go and worship God. Because our pastor deposited the true word of God in our hearts. We got pastors on these lines. And you know what? These men deposit the word of God into their people. I've sat under them. They deposit the word of God into their people. Because they fill themselves up to overflowing with His Spirit. They study His Word. They worship God. They pray into what they're going to share because they know those sheep need the Spirit of God if they're going to leave their building and go out into that church, go out into that store, walk down the street, and be able to stand true, not succumbing to the lust of the flesh, not giving in to the desires, the carnality that we see everywhere, everywhere. We receive the world. It's like an onslaught. I don't want to say receive because receive implies we're accepting it. It comes at us like an onslaught. Constantly trying to take us out. Constantly. Karen and I have gone into the grocery store and literally flipped the magazines around because there are half-dressed people on those magazines and children right by the candy aisle. You don't think that's a plan of the enemy? Here's the aisle to feed your flesh. It's our responsibility as parents, as grandparents, as pastors, as teachers, as evangelists to pour what we have put within us into the lives of those we touch. But if we have not spent our time drinking of the Spirit, and I mean drinking of the Spirit, we will not be able to accomplish that. In the book of Acts, we see powerful demonstrations that take place when one has been filled with the Spirit of the living God. Jesus had to go so he could send the Comforter, the Teacher, the Spirit of the living God. He spent 3.5 years pouring into his disciples. But when he released the Spirit to fill them up, that's where the power and the authority of the words deposited in them was released. The book of Acts says time and time again, when Stephen was about to be stoned, the Spirit of the Lord came on him, and he released the Word of God, and it struck the hearts of those men. Some came to the Lord, and some were so enraged. So enraged. The hardness of their heart was pricked. And they took him out and stoned him. But the message that came out of him was the covenant. It was God's promise. The birth of the Savior. The Spirit of the Lord transported Philip to go and bring understanding to the Scriptures. To the king that's journeying on the road. Says, let me be baptized. And Philip is taken. Baptizes, Philip is taken. The man's life is changed. Because the Spirit of the Lord said, I have a man I need you to go and reveal what this prophet has said in these passages. Why was he reading it in the first place? Because he's trying to feed his mind. But the revelation of the Spirit of the Lord took that word and crammed it down into his heart and birthed faith. The Spirit of the Lord births faith. The Spirit of the Lord births faith in the person. We think we're going to go and we're going to be able to bring them to salvation without the Spirit of the Lord. That's not going to happen. Years ago, I went through Evangelism Explosion, which is a good program. It teaches you great scriptures. I was terrified. I was terrified of public speaking, which is really funny, given what I do now.
Imagine that.
It feels like a second home now, but then I didn't have the faith. I had the Lord, but I didn't have the faith that they would receive him. And I didn't realize it's not about me. It's about the Spirit of the Lord being released. Because the thing that's in them that will draw them back to God is put in them at birth. Everyone has the seed. We don't get them saved. We release the Spirit of the Lord, and he sows into that person, and it ignites the faith that's within them, and they come to him. It is the Spirit of the Lord that does the work. How arrogant to think we do it.
That's right.
We've talked about Ode and he has a gift of evangelism.
That's right.
I mean, I'm getting updates several times a day. New converts with pictures of these young kids coming into the kingdom. He is living right now in a box, a brick box. He was upgraded from last year. Last year it was a mattress on the floor, a table with all of his belongings on it, and that's it. Brick. He has a window this year. There's an upgrade.
Wow.
Sleeping in a mattress, on a mattress 4 inches high on the floor. But he's there. Take the gospel. He connects and sows into the lives of those who came to Jesus last year when he was there. Because Odie goes by the Spirit of the Lord. It's not whether or not they accept him. It's whether or not they accept the Spirit of the Lord. We've got to have the freedom to be released in the Spirit of the Lord. If we can truly do that, our relationships with people will change. Whether they be strangers or they be our children, our relationships will change.
That's right. Yes, God.
We are to walk as children of the light. We've been talking about this for weeks now. Walk as children of the light, led by the Spirit of God. This isn't about us anymore. It's not about our flesh. It's not about our desires. It's not about our wishes.
That's right.
It's about the move of God. I said this last week. When they look at you, do they cry out, Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. It's the Spirit of the Lord. So, has it been fed so much inside of you that it emanates from you? That from your very self, the anointing just pours out? Have you been in a service where God moves and you think, how in the world did that happen? Because it couldn't have been because of me. And you know what? Because you filled yourself with the Spirit of the living God and you have availed yourself to him. And when we do that, it transforms how we minister. Whether we're a worship leader, allowing the Spirit of the Lord to flow through that worship. Artem sends a message out to those who are on the worship team. He talks to them about the way that they dress. He talks to them about preparing their hearts for weeks before the GOE. Preparing themselves to be vessels for the worship of God, that holiness might enter this place. It's not just because he's a great worship leader. I mean, he is. He's got tremendous talent, tremendous gifting. Tremendous. But what has he done? It's not about us. It's about the Spirit of the Lord moving. We've got to help the people reach the heart of God. It's about getting the people into the presence of God. The presence of God. So that his Spirit can do the work through us. Time is short, and if we do not know how to avail ourselves to the Spirit of God, I talked last week about this. It is the Spirit of holiness. Paul gives instruction after instruction in 5 and 6. How to avail yourself to the Spirit of holiness. Walk as children of light. Avail yourself to the Spirit of holiness. Why? So you can fulfill your purpose in this earth. So you can fulfill your purpose in the earth. Okay, God is calling us into new places in Him, places that the enemy tried to cap. God is about to take the lid off of it all. Because a move of God is coming. We are the move of God. That's what I've been saying for a couple of weeks, that we are the move of God. And if we don't get the word in us, when the move comes, we'll catch it. And that's not our responsibility. We are vessels. Vessels for the Spirit of holiness to flow. When the Spirit of holiness flows, do you know what happens? People fall on their faces before God. And they worship Him. They see God for the purity and the holiness of who He is. Their sin is exposed and they fall on their face and repent and allow Him to clean them out so that they can enter into His presence. When I was a child, they used to teach, you know, if you just accept Jesus into your heart, there you go, there's your entrance, that's your key. You have a key to heaven. They never talked about the life you have to live. When we went to camp, they used to tell us we get to clean up after ourselves. We get to have lights out by 10. We get to brush your teeth every day. I mean, come on, they're fourth and fifth and sixth graders away from home. We get to brush our teeth every day. We get to participate in all the activities. We're adults now. We get to study the Word of God. Do we see the privilege that we have there? We get to weep before Him every morning together as we pray for the nation, for the youth, for the church. We get to keep our hearts tender on these subjects ever before the throne. Because the transformation that we're going to be a part of birthing in this nation is greater than anything it's seen before. When Trump was elected, I saw him in the center of the nation. I had a vision of him in the center of the nation. He was there. He had a white shirt on. His tie was off. Sleeves were rolled up. I've shared this before. And he was pulling, and he was pulling, and he was pulling, and he was pulling this chain in the center of the earth, center of the country, pulling, pulling, pulling. And his sweat was just dripping. His face was beet red, pulling and pulling with all that he had. The Lord said he's raising a standard of righteousness in this nation. Do you know how he's doing that? He's working to drain the swamp for one thing. He's working to expose the sin of this nation. He's working to abolish abortion. He's working to eradicate human trafficking. He's working to bring forth a pathway for the righteousness of God to flow across this nation. Do we realize that? This nation has been so defiled for so many years. A pathway has to be presented for the glory of the Lord to fall. Yes, the intercessors have wept. Yes, the intercessors, we have wept and wept and wept for this nation. But I promise you, those tears paved the way for him to get in the White House. He's bringing back the tokens of righteousness to our nation. Former presidents worked hard to strip those tokens. What are those tokens? The Bible,
prayer. Those are the tokens of God. They represent Him. There's a football coach. He was fired because at the end of the football game, he knelt down and prayed. He was suspended and fired
for praying. Our president sits in the White House and has meetings with the inner city pastors and opens it with prayer. He's bringing prayer back into our nation. He's fighting to bring the Word of God back in our nation, where you can carry the Word of God and not have stuff thrown at you. Can you believe we live in a nation that people would mock you for having the Word of God? Well, I mean, I understand it because it exposes their sin, but they don't like that. But where children who are in fifth grade, their favorite book to read is the Bible, and the teacher calls the home and says, your child cannot read the Bible for their reading log anymore. The teacher. But they can learn about Islam. You can read about my two daddies in kindergarten. My two mommies. You can watch cartoons of two female characters getting married. But heaven forbid you bring righteousness back into the workplace. You bring righteousness back into our educational system. God is going to release His Spirit of holiness across this nation. And those who have cried out when that man was elected because he's exposing his sin, he's exposing their sin. I don't know if you guys have seen Death of a Nation yet. You got to get out and see it before it's out of the theaters. Why? Because you'll understand. You will see reporters, activists crying out, women, get out there and get your abortions while you can. When he was elected, you'll see the manipulation of the media to control how we think. It will awaken you to the truth. So that you can get on your knees and pray for righteousness to come in our nation. Righteousness. Living out the fruit of the Spirit in everything you do. Living out the fruit of the Spirit. You can't do that if the Spirit of the Lord isn't in you. He has to do it through us. He has to do it. It's His Spirit. And the more we put the Word of God in us, the greater we will walk as children of the light. With a spirit of holiness. Not because we're self-righteous. Because we hunger for God. We hunger to see the presence of God sweep across our nation and bring healing to the children of our nation. It will take a move of God to heal them. They're broken. They're wandering aimlessly through life right now. All the way from the youth, where they are their minds are being held captive through autism,
all the way up to this generation that has no focus, no purpose. What's the point, they say? The move of God is coming. The glory of the Lord is about to be released. And when the glory of the Lord is released, the fire of God will fall and they will know who their God is. Why do you think the enemy has sought to bring so many gods into our nation? To bring confusion to our children. When we know who our God is, we have purpose and we are anchored in that purpose. Chains are about to be broken. Strongholds are about to be brought down. And if we're going to be a part of that, if we're going to spearhead that the way God is calling us to do it, we've got to prepare ourselves. The pastors need to prepare themselves because the people, the children, when the glory comes through and the fire exposes and burns away the dross, they're going to need a place to go to be nourished and have the Spirit of God deposited into their lives and be taught the true, pure Word of God. Do you remember the days when we went to church and we were there half the day? And we were excited about it. We weren't looking at our watch for, oh man, it's almost lunchtime. Really want to make it to Applebee's in time. That lunch rush is going to hit there pretty quick, Pastor. Come on. We didn't do that because we didn't care if our flesh was fed. We just wanted more of the Word of God. The most powerful moment that I ever had in church, at People's Church, the sanctuary holds thousands and thousands of people, and Pastor Johnson, I don't even remember the message, but his heart was crying for what he was witnessing in the earth, what he was witnessing. And as his message went on, he fell on his knees in front of thousands of people. And it's the biggest church in town. The wealthiest people go there. And our pastor fell on his knees, and he wept before God. Forgive us. Forgive the sin in our nation, oh God. Forgive us that we have not better prepared and equipped your saints. As a pastor, his heart cried. His heart cried out to God in front of all those people. And as my pastor was there on his knees, weeping over sin, this was years and years and years ago. I just wept. I wept that the most esteemed pastor in our nation, I mean our city and really among the state, was weeping. In that moment, it didn't matter who was in the congregation because it was him and God. And the Spirit of the Lord flowed out of him in such a profound way. There were tears. I don't think these people ever cried in church before. There were tears in the congregation because the Spirit of the living God flowed and began to break their hearts. Yes. I believe, I believe he sowed into the earth that day for the move we're about to see. Weeping on behalf of pastors for their failures to do what they've been called to do. And I'm not saying all pastors do that. I'm not saying that. We've got really amazing pastors with us who preach the true word of God. It doesn't matter who's sitting in those pews. They're going to hear the word of the Lord. They don't shape and mold it to fit. They don't try to impress. They want the holiness to be unleashed in every servant. But when he wept on behalf of the leadership, there is such a brokenness. It's coming, my friends. It's coming. We must prepare. That's why we do such deep studies. That's why the Spirit of the Lord comes in. And we go deep into his word. Deep into the passages. Learning to walk. In his light. Children of the light. When we enter a room, if there's darkness, it must flee because we are children of light. We live a life preparing to be the vessel of God. Your presence causes the enemy to scatter. It brings an impact into the room. Because he can move freely through you. The enemy senses your presence, and it burns his flesh. Because the holiness of God is oozing out of you. Do you see where we are called to be? Do you see it? Can you grab hold of it? Can you fight for it? Can you crave it? Can you get on your face every day and cry out for it? Can you? Will you? Will you? Heavenly Father, I just lay this time at your feet. I see what you're doing in us, Lord. I see what you're longing to do through your vessels, through your body, through the children of light. I see the sweetness of the fragrance of God. As you look upon those willing to lay it all down and follow you, truly hungering and thirsting for you, availing themselves to the Spirit in all that they do. It doesn't matter if we're sleeping on a mattress on the floor, or if we're sitting at the table of kings. The Spirit of holiness must emanate from us. break our hearts for God, so that we can let go of the things that are interfering with your spirit. Break our hearts. So that we can press in to you. Oh, think of what Ben and Patricia are doing, Lord God. And Patricia says, "Do you need a hug?" And he just laid his head on her shoulder. She availed herself to the Spirit of the Lord. And he came to know you as his Savior. That is the beauty of laying it down at your feet. Because the Spirit of the Lord can flow in life-changing ways when we will do this. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us. And Father, I would ask that you would really begin imparting within each of us, Lord, the faith, the hope of the promises to come. Many of us have been praying, desperately praying, for breakthroughs. Restore, Lord God, the hope. Restore it, Lord God. Help us to see what you see. Help us. Will you, Lord? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In your name. Amen.